Well, good morning. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the letter of James, first chapter, verses 19 through 26. And it says, "Know this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry. This is because an angry person doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness, and welcome the word planted deep inside you, the very word that is able to save you. You must be doers of the word and not only hearers who mislead themselves. Those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at their faces in a mirror. They look at themselves, walk away, and immediately forget what they were like. But there are those who study the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continue to do it. They don't listen and then forget, but they put it into practice in their lives. They will be blessed in whatever they do. If those who claim devotion to God don't control what they say, they mislead themselves. Their devotion is worthless." Well, this is week four of our Way Too Much sermon series. And in case you've missed a week somewhere along the line, let's recap where we've been. The sermon series is based on the idea that God loves you just the way you are and yet way too much to stay there. So we're looking at those places as we begin a new year where people sometimes take an opportunity to reevaluate. And here specifically, we're looking at the ways in which those things are part of our spiritual walk. And so you might remember that the first week we met Jesse. And when we first met Jesse, he looked like he had maybe just left his New Year's Eve party. And Jesse wanted to do some reevaluating. And so Pastor Kevin helped Jesse think about his spiritual walk and his practices. And so we have that represented with this heart. Pastor Jared talked about our physical health. And you'll notice the physical health is represented with these running shoes, which is also connected to the heart, because taking care of our physical health is part of our spiritual practice. And today, we're going to help Jesse with some of his relationship issues. So we have that represented with this cell phone in his hand, which is also connected to his heart, because God is a part of our relationships. And the way that we go about doing our relationships is a witness to our faith. Now, if that all feels a little heavy, I'll remind you that God loves you just the way you are, and yet way too much to stay there. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that one of the blessings of old friends is that you can afford to be stupid with them. It's the truth, isn't it? So Jesse has people in his life. He has friends and family, and he even has some coworkers he gets along with. But he doesn't have those relationships in a place he'd like them to be. And frankly, Jesse doesn't understand why relationships have to be so hard anyway. They're so complicated. And it leaves him feeling lonely. He doesn't have anybody to be stupid with. And we know that Jesse is not alone in loneliness. There's been a lot of research in the last few years about loneliness and isolation and the ties that it has to our health. It's really pretty fascinating. And just last year, there was a new research study published that found they were looking at how it is that loneliness affects our health. And they actually found that loneliness and social isolation change the human genome in such profound ways that it is similar to what they would typically see from smoking, diabetes, and obesity. They found that loneliness and isolation actually turn up the activity of the genes responsible for inflammation in the body. Now, they believe the evolutionary reason for this is that there is safety in numbers, and therefore isolation would be dangerous. But either way, we're programmed for relationship in the same way that we're programmed to need food, water, and oxygen. And when it's not there, the body reacts. I found this research to be fascinating, and it made me wonder about all the inflammatory illnesses we see today. You know, Mother Teresa, who spent a lifetime working with the sickest and the poorest, once said that loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty. When we look around, we see that. And we feel it, and we know it. But often when we try to fix it, we go about it in all the wrong ways. So our friends at IKEA actually have some help for us. This is the honest-to-goodness truth. IKEA has devoted a website to solve your relationship troubles. It's called their retail therapy site. And on the IKEA retail therapy site, you can actually purchase a product called My Family Doesn't Respect Me. You'll be purchasing a white queen costume. You can purchase a product called My Children Don't Listen to Me. It's a tambourine. My Brother is Overprotective. It's a package of assorted bandages. But my personal favorite, How to Say I'm Not Interested. It's a stainless steel garlic press. So why are relationships so complicated? Well, let me ask that in a different way. Do you know what the leading cause of divorce is? Marriage. Yeah. It's funny, but it's true. Relationships are complicated because people are complicated. You see, if you and I are going to be friends, then I bring all of my experiences, both good and bad, and everything I believe about being a friend. You bring all of your experiences, both good and bad, and everything you believe about being a friend. And I believe that my experiences and my beliefs are the right way to be a friend. And you believe that your experiences are the right way to be a friend. At some point, our ideas about being friends are going to conflict. And if my way is the right way and your way is the right way, it's going to be hard for us to be friends. Now, if you multiply that by every relationship you have, it's complicated. I wonder if that's why we have so much scripture about relationships. There's so much. I had a really difficult time deciding which passage to use today. We'll get to that in just a minute. But for example, we're told to dwell on whatever is true and right, pure and lovely. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy kind of sounds like look for the good. In our liturgy this morning, we were reminded that love is patient and kind. It doesn't boast and it isn't proud. That it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. In Hebrews, we're told to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And then, of course, the golden rule, to treat others the way you want them to treat you. But today's scripture is from James. One of the reasons that I chose the passage from James is that scholars believe that James, the author, is James, the brother of Jesus. And I thought, who better to give us some advice about relationships than the brother of Jesus? I mean, can you even imagine what it would be like to be the younger brother of Jesus? Talk about your sibling rivalry. Why can't you be more like your brother? From what we know about the family, or what scholars have assessed from what we know about the family, it's believed that James would have been one of at least seven children. Tradition tells us that Joseph likely died a lot earlier than Mary, leaving her a widow with these orphan children. This was a family in stress. It's also believed that the brothers of Jesus did not come to faith until after the resurrection. Ouch. So James knows a little something about difficult relationships. And James, the brother of Jesus, tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Well, that's easy enough, right? You know, when I read scriptures like this, it reminds me that the human condition just hasn't changed that much. We all want to be heard and yet find it hard to listen. You know, just being present while someone is talking is not listening. Have you ever been in a conversation where you could tell that while you were talking, the other person was merely figuring out what they were going to say next? I'm sure nobody here has ever done that, but it doesn't feel good. We want our thoughts and ideas to be heard. So if you want to test yourself on your listening skills, when you're in a conversation with somebody, if you can repeat back to them their thoughts and ideas, even if you don't agree with them, then you've probably heard them. Now, I think that real listening helps us with the next step, and that is to be slow to speak. Because real listening involves thoughtful engagement, not witty comebacks. And when we really hear the other person, we're more likely to give thought to how we want to respond, which then helps us to be slow to anger. Because if I care enough about you to really listen, and then give thoughtful consideration to how I want to respond, I'm less likely to become angry. And if I also feel heard, I'm less likely to become angry. James goes on to talk about being doers of the word. And he says, if we only hear, it's like looking in a mirror and then walking away and forgetting what you saw. In other words, our behavior in relationships is connected to our spiritual walk. Now, today in all of the sanctuary services, we're welcoming new members. And when we met with them last Sunday, we asked them, why here? Why this church? Some of the words they used were community, family, belonging. It's all about relationships. And the relationships we have here are all of those things. And they're complicated because people are complicated and messy. You know, there might even be a time that someone here frustrates you. But that's okay. It's just part of doing life together. makes me thankful that we have so much guidance in Scripture about being in relationship with one another. And I pray that we're faithful as we continue to grow in our relationships, and that those relationships would be a witness to our love for Christ. But if you're here today and you're feeling like Jesse, if you don't have anybody to be stupid with, I want you to know that there are deeper relationships available here in this community. And so all throughout this series, we've had a table in Connection Central dedicated to Way Too Much. And today on that table, you'll find some information about different groups that we have here at the church. And there's also a sign-up sheet. If you don't know where to get started, put your name and information on that sheet, and I'll be following up with you. And together, we'll find that place where you can have somebody to be stupid with. Relationships are messy. And not every relationship is going to be fulfilling. Not all of our relationships are not going to be the way we like, and they are not going to be perfect. But both science and Scripture tell us that we're programmed for relationship. So if you struggle in this area, you're not alone. And God loves you exactly where you are today, right now. And God wants you to experience the fullness of meaningful relationships. Amen.